Welcome in to the NFL pregame show. We are live at Twin Peaks out in Cool Springs, home of 29 Degree Beer and the best scenic views. Come out and watch the Titans game tonight as they take on the Green Bay Packers at Lambeau Field on Thursday Night Football, 1634 Galleria Boulevard in Cool Springs. Caroline Fenton in for Jared Stillman. D-Mace is here. D-Mace, how are we doing?
Hey, I'm doing well. How about yourself, Caroline?
Doing well.
Yes.
Chris Sanders will join us later on. He has his coach duties so that he will have to take care of, you know, grooming. The youth of America.
Exactly.
He'll join us later on in the show. But I want to start here, D-Mace, because it feels like this game has a certain allure to it. Mm-hmm. When you're playing on national TV, when you're playing on Thursday Night Football, but especially when you're playing at Lambeau Field, all of those things considered. Lambeau Field, it's going to be a cold night, national game. It just feels like this game has a certain allure to it that other games just don't have to it. I felt the same way about the Cowboys-Packers game last week on Sunday Night Football. That just feels like a special game.
Well, I mean, anytime you play on those sort of primetime games, whether it be Sunday night, Monday night, or now Thursday night, there's a certain level of excitement that comes with it. Because you know and understand that everybody's watching you. You're the only show in town, so to speak. And everybody's watching you, from your parents to your siblings, your old classmates from high school, middle school. Everybody's watching. And you understand that and realize that. And there's a level of excitement. But then you add on, you're playing at Lambeau Field, like one of the most historic fields in the National Football League.
Right.
I mean, you couldn't ask for anything better. As a kid, you know, that watching the Green Bay Packers when I was growing up in Detroit, it was one of those stadiums you just wanted to play in, because it just seemed like all the good stuff happens at Lambeau Field. All the exciting things happen at Lambeau Field.
I mean, one of the most historic landmarks
exactly.
in the NFL.
Absolutely. Yeah. One of the most historic landmarks in all of sports is Lambeau Field. You know, it's one of those deals where you can't explain it until you actually are in it. And you can't explain what Lambeau is like until you've either been there for a game or played in a game there. But all that aside, the Titans need to win. Green Bay needs to win, because they are right now, they're out of the playoffs, I believe. But
Win tonight and their
puts
season's
them,
still
exactly,
alive.
A win tonight keeps them alive in their playoff hopes. A win tonight for the Titans puts them closer to achieving something that we thought they couldn't, and that's a number one seed. Because Kansas City has two losses. Buffalo, I believe, have two or three.
They have
two.
The Dolphins, last week as well.
Exactly.
Last week against
the Vikings. The Titans are, if they win this, if they win tonight, they get themselves closer to, again, getting something that we didn't even think could happen. That's the number one seed.
Yeah, and you mentioned that the Packers need this one. They lose tonight, and you can pretty much throw the playoff hopes out the door for the Packers. They're coming off of a win against the Cowboys on Sunday Night Football, 31-28. That game was the first time the Packers have breached that 30-point mark all season long. The Titans, on the other hand, also coming off of a win over the Broncos 17-10 last week. So both of these teams kind of coming in with a little bit of momentum. But I think the interesting thing here is looking at the sports books. This line opened Packers minus 2.5, and that has only grown to Packers 3.5. And I don't know necessarily what to make of that. I don't know if that's all the money coming in on the Packers, everyone hammering the Packers minus 2.5, or if that's a way to get Vegas to say, hey, you know, dingling a little carrot in front of everybody and saying, hey, the Packers are going to give you a little bit more meat on that bone, trying to get bettors to kind of influence and take that line. But I think just the way that each of these teams are coming into it. The Titans fighting for a top spot in the division and in the conference, and also the Packers just trying to fight for a playoff spot. I think these teams are coming in with very different, you know, at least seasons coming into it. And Vegas, I don't think, necessarily reflects that.
No, it doesn't. I think, you know, it goes from 2.5 to 3.5. It could be a way for Vegas to entice more people to put money one way or the other. I don't know. But it would have seemed and then the guys that are not playing, and I think the two most important guys, and really probably why the line changed, was Bullock not playing, the kicker. that changes things.
Do you think
things.
He can influence it that much?
3 points. He can't influence at 3 points.
Yeah.
So when he was ruled out, and then you got your center Ben Jones ruled out, I mean, I understand why the line goes from 2 points to possibly 3.5. Mm-hmm. I can't see it going over unless something catastrophic happens before the game. I can't see the line moving no more than what it is now. But you're right. These both teams are they're sort of headed in the right in the same direction, at least they want to, but they're coming from it they're coming at it from a different angle. Mm-hmm. The Titans are coming at it from an angle where they are in the driver's seat, that, you know, they control their destiny in regards to the AFC South. Mm-hmm. And if they continue to win, and say Kansas City slips up again or Buffalo slips up again, mm-hmm. now they control their own destiny after this possibly this weekend. And on the other hand, you know, Green Bay, yes, they control their destiny in regards to tonight, but moving forward, they're going to have other teams lose and them continue to win. But they're both headed. They want to be headed in the right direction, and that's the playoffs. But they're just coming at it from a different angle.
And I think, too, beyond the playoffs, I think this game has big implications just in terms of perception.
No.
Because I think that if you would have asked, and Jared and I were talking about this earlier, if you would poll, you know, just football fans around the country, you're taking Aaron Rodgers or Ryan Tannehill uh-huh. and the Titans, I would say probably a good majority of those people would take the Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers just because of kind of because it's Green Bay.
Exactly.
Because it's Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers, absolutely.
But I think the Titans going on the road at Lambeau Field on a game where everybody in America who has Amazon, and also, you know, you can watch the game tonight on Fox, I believe, in Nashville, that is a huge statement mm-hmm. on the perception nationally of the Tennessee Titans that, hey, they can go in here after the Packers have all the momentum in the world, beating the Cowboys on Sunday Night Football, and the Titans can go into their house in Lambeau Field when it's freezing and get a win. I think that that's a big statement for the Titans that they could make.
Yeah, it can be, because now you get the last time we all seen the Titans on national television, they lost. Yes, they played valiantly. They played physical, hard. The defense did everything they could possibly do.
With a backup quarterback.
With a backup. But everybody mm-hmm. saw a loss in the Tennessee Titans. Mm-hmm. And they saw how inept that offense was. Now you put them back on the national stage for a second time. Now they get to show people, hey, listen, from an offensive standpoint and a defensive standpoint, we're for real. Mm-hmm. We're playing the Green Bay Packers. A lot can – it's funny how sports is sometimes. Like, Green Bay has been pretty much bad the whole season.
Yeah.
They can win this game from a national perception. It was they're back.
They're back.
Green
they
Bay
figured
is
it out.
Back.
Uh-huh.
Aaron Rodgers and Oatman and the head coach LaFleur are back on good terms. They're back. And it can also go the opposite way for the Titans. The Titans are a good team. They're a physical team. But if people see a Titan team that seems inept on offense, mm-hmm. even though their defense is playing good, if they lose this game, everybody's going to point to the offense. They can't continue to play this way. That will be the narrative. The defense cannot continue to carry them. Derrick Henry cannot continue to carry them. Mm-hmm. Ryan Tannehill has to be more of a focus to carry. Can Ryan Tannehill carry this team? I guarantee you that will be the narrative. If they do not win this game, can Ryan Tannehill carry this team to a playoff win?
Mm-hmm.
That will be the narrative. And the narrative with Green Bay would be, they're back.
Aaron
Here
Rodgers
he comes.
Is back. Aaron
Everybody's
did
watching.
It.
Everybody watch out.
Stringing
you know, so
two wins together.
This is
they
crazy.
Figured
absolutely.
Something out.
Yeah, absolutely. But I see the Titans. This game is tailor-made for them. This is the game that they thrive in. This is the game that they love playing in. Mm-hmm. This is the game that Mike Vrabel loves to coach in. Because he understands that it's the elements are affecting the game. We may not do what we want to do, but we're going to play physical and we're going to play fast. And we don't think you, Green Bay, can play more physical than us.
Mm-hmm.
We just don't think that. So we're going to run the football. We're going to set the line of scrimmage on offense, and we're going to move the line of scrimmage on defense. And we don't think you can handle it. This is a tailor-made Mike Vrabel game.
And that's really what the identity of this team is.
Uh-huh.
Toughness. Mm-hmm. Is we're going to out-tough you. And if we're going to go in with our game plan, and if you can out-tough us, and if you can win the game outside of our game plan, then good for you. Then exactly. Hats off to you. But that has been really the personality of this team, especially this season, but really, you know, under Mike Vrabel. It's, we are going to out-tough you, and can you handle it? And I think another, you know, part to that, too, is Aaron Rodgers can get easily frustrated. Uh-huh. Aaron Rodgers can easily throw his hands up and say,
What
are you doing for me? Yeah, right, exactly. So that's what's going to be a big key on the defensive line is frustrate Aaron Rodgers. Make him make decisions that he probably wouldn't make in a sound peace of mind.
Absolutely. What you want to do is you want to speed his decision-making up, even though it's you think, well, it's Aaron Rodgers. You know, it's difficult to do that. No, it's not. Only thing you got to do is get pushed up the middle of the field and make him try to escape on the outside. Make him pat that ball one more time. If you hit him a few times, then he's going to get the ball. He's going to get rid of the ball a little bit earlier than what he wants to. And again, to me, the Titans did it to Patrick Mahomes. The Titans defense has did it to basically every quarterback that they've played this season. They've made it uncomfortable for him to sit in the pocket and throw the ball, no matter who it is. And I think it'll be the same thing tonight with Aaron Rodgers. Get him uncomfortable. Get him throwing the spots that he don't want to throw in. He said last week, this is the best I ever felt, that past game with the Dallas. This is the best I've ever felt because I felt that everywhere that I wanted to throw the ball, I threw it. Every spot I wanted to throw the ball, I threw it. Well, the Titans must not allow him to get into a place where he can say, wherever I want to throw the ball, I can throw it. They got to put heat on him. They got to push the pocket. They got to make him feel uncomfortable with trying to sit there and throw the ball.
Coming up next, we will Move the Chains, presented by TriStar Moving. It is the NFL pregame show brought to you by TriStar Moving, Parman Tractor and Equipment, Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey, Superbook Sports, and Ounce of Hope Cannabis Company, Caroline Fenton, D-Mace. It's the NFL pregame show. It's the NFL pregame show. Caroline Fenton, Derek Mason, Chris Sanders will join us in just about 45 minutes. We are at Twin Peaks in Cool Springs, 1634 Galleria Boulevard in Cool Springs, 29-degree beer, and the best scenic views. Let's get into it. We will Move the Chains, presented by TriStar Moving, the keys to the game for the Tennessee Titans tonight. First down. My first down of the game, D-Mace. Limit what Aaron Rodgers can do. Because I think all season long, we've kind of looked at this Packers team. We've been like, well, this doesn't look like an Aaron Rodgers quarterbacked team. And I know Devontae Adams, but it just, the Packers offense seemed to struggle so mightily all season long. Mm-hmm. And then I see what Aaron Rodgers did last week against the Dallas Cowboys, and they were throwing that thing all over the place. Aaron Rodgers has the ability to take over a game. Aaron Rodgers has the ability to single-handedly beat you. Mm-hmm. So that's what the Tennessee Titans need to do. That's my first down, is limit what Aaron Rodgers can do in the passing game. Don't let him run around. Aaron Rodgers is not immobile. Mm-hmm. He's not a statue in the pocket, but he is able to escape pressure. So put pressure up front with a healthy Jeffrey Simmons. Limit what he can do in the passing game and get pressure up front in the defensive line so that DBs don't have to do a brunt of the work.
Well, they're going to have to. Randall Cobb is back in the lineup. So that's his security blanket.
But how much does Randall Cobb really scare you?
He doesn't scare me from the standpoint of, you know, a big play guy, but what he does is move the chains. Mm-hmm. And Aaron Rodgers, right now, he needs a guy that can move the chains, a guy that he can lean on and throw to and know that will catch the ball. You never when Aaron has someone that he can throw to that he feels comfortable with, he's back to the old Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. Now he's back to throwing those passes that we may look at and say that are careless, but he understands where he's throwing it and who he's throwing it to. So he feels comfortable with making that throw. But you're right. They can't allow Aaron Rodgers. I don't care how bad or subpar he's looked this season. It only takes one or two games to get him back going.
Right.
And we saw one last week. We don't want one to be tonight.
And that's another question that I have is, was last week how the Packers just unlocked something offensively that Aaron Rodgers just needed to have that one game with Christian Watson, and then it was, okay, now that's his new go-to guy. Now he's found his guy. Or was it that was a one-off and, you know, they're going to continue to have some offensive woes in the future? And I don't know the answer to that question. Mm-hmm. But I think you might kind of get a peek behind the curtain of what that might be tonight. if Aaron Rodgers consistently goes to Christian Watson, or to your point, if he kind of falls back into that comfort blanket of Randall Cobb.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. You never know whether that was a breakout game for Watson until you see him the next following game. And what happens the next following game? Will the Titans zero in their coverage on Watson? I don't think so. But what they're going to do is, now they noticed him. He's not an unknown guy. Mm-hmm. He's not an unknown commodity. They know what he can do if you just leave him be, if you don't pay attention to him. So expect the Titans to pay attention to him, as well as Lazard and obviously Randall Cobb.
Second down.
Second down.
Titans got to have a balanced offense here. I want to see the big dog eat. I want to see Derrick Henry get a good bit of carries, but Tannehill's also going to have to win this game with his arm as well. Look at that Texans game. They can win that game by handing the ball off to Derrick Henry on every single down. Derrick Henry is going to run for 250 yards because that's the Houston Texans. Mm-hmm. But they're going into this game, and I think the Green Bay Packers know exactly what they're going to want to do, what the Titans are going to want to do offensively, and that's hand the ball off to Derrick Henry. And the Packers aren't going to let them do that. So while I do want to see a good bit of touches from Derrick Henry, especially in this weather, Tannehill's going to have to throw the ball. And I look at, like, the quote-unquote, like, perfect, picture-perfect game, in my opinion, for Ryan Tannehill. And that is, you know, 18 of 25, 230, 40, 50 yards, two touchdowns, don't turn the ball over. And if I see that from from Ryan Tannehill tonight, I'm going to feel really good about the Titans' chances.
Well, if you see that from Tannehill, one of possibly three things could have happened. It could have been, hey, listen, they've stopped Derrick Henry, so now we got to resort to our passing game. Mm-hmm. And you hope that is not the case,
right?
Because you want to hope that Derrick Henry is Derrick Henry. I think the second is that they just try to mix it up, period.
Right.
They just want to go out there and sort of keep Green Bay off balance. So when you're looking at it from that standpoint, well, that's two instead of three. But if you're looking at it from that standpoint, Ryan Tannehill is going to have to make some plays with his arms. That's just the way it is. Even if because I don't think Green Bay is going to shut him down. I think he's going to have 200 yards. Just say he doesn't get 200 yards. He gets 100 yards or 120.
Still a great game.
It's still a really good game.
Feel really
but
good about
Ryan
that.
Tannehill still has to do something in the passing game. Mm-hmm. He still has to elevate this team in the passing game, because 120 yards and a touchdown in the NFL, that could have been one long 75-yarder and then 20, you know, the rest in just small gains and a touchdown. That leaves you with, well, what did Ryan Tannehill do in the passing game, if that's indeed the case? That's why I believe what you're saying. They must stay balanced, but Ryan Tannehill has to make some plays in the passing game this week in order to get that defense off of Derrick Henry.
And the Packers defense are giving up about 4.8 yards per rush attempt, which I'd feel great about that. Derrick Henry can go out there and rush for almost 5 yards a crack.
Oh, that's you're controlling the clock,
uh-huh.
And Derrick Henry is being Derrick Henry. So that's wonderful if he can average that.
Third down.
Third down.
To me here, this is going to be a Mike Vrabel, you know, perfect game for the Titans, and that's limiting penalties as much as they possibly can. And Mike Vrabel talked about this going to the Chiefs game. One of his keys to the game was make them earn it, and meaning don't give up those big chunk plays. And I also view that in the make them earn it side of things. I also view that as make the Packers earn it. Don't give the Packers yards. Mm-hmm. Don't make your job more difficult than it needs to be when it's already pretty difficult. I mean, I look at so many false start penalties that have been plaguing the Titans all season long. I look at so many, you know, dumb, you know, PI penalties that they've drawn all season long. Don't give the Green Bay Packers free yards, and don't make it more difficult for yourself. So limiting the penalties and capitalizing in the red zone is my third down, my key to the game for the Tennessee Titans.
No, you're right. You're dealing with, you know, in regards to the Tennessee Titans, you're dealing with the best red zone offense in the National Football League. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, they haven't had a bunch of them, but anytime they get down in that red zone, they're scoring touchdowns majority of the time. And they're scoring it at a clip, I believe, right now, is at an NFL record. Can they hold on to that? I don't know. But, you know, tonight, if you get inside of that red zone, you got to put points on the board. Because you never want to go into a situation where it's 2 minutes left in a game or a minute and 45 seconds left in a game, and you've had, you know, five red zone opportunities. You scored on three of them, mm-hmm. and you missed field goals or just didn't, you know, make it on the other two. And Aaron Rodgers is sitting back there, and it's 21-20, minute and 45 seconds left. I don't want to be in that situation if I'm the Titans.
Right.
I mean, defense aside, defense is good. But Aaron Rodgers in a two-minute situation, that's disastrous for defense. So any opportunity they have to get in the red zone, they must continue to score. And then from there, it's for me, this is a game where Mike Vrabel, his coaching is going to come out. Mm-hmm. You're going to see how good of a coach Mike Vrabel truly is by the decisions that he makes about how he keeps everything with that team on an even keel. They never get too high, they never get too low. And how they design a package on defense to stop Aaron Rodgers, especially on third down and in the red zone, because the Titans do have one of the best red zone defenses in the National Football League.
Right.
So you just assume that Aaron Rodgers is going to get down there at least 2 to 3 times. So if you can hold them to field goals or one score in those opportunities, that's a win for the Titans.
But that's where Randall Cobb coming back does concern me a good bit, is in the red zone. Mm-hmm. Because I don't think that Aaron Rodgers is going to target Randall Cobb for a 45-yard deep pass, any of those big chunk plays like that. But having his go-to guy, you know, when it's second and goal and they're at your three-yard line, that concerns me when he has his go-to comfort guy in the red zone.
Yeah, and that's just a situation that you know, you don't want to be in as a defense. Mm-hmm. I believe in the Titans defense. This is a very, very good defense, a very aggressive defense. They've been more opportunistic this year than in previous years. Every time they've touched the ball from a defense standpoint in the red zone, it's been good for them. So they got to do what they did against Kansas City, what they did to some of these other teams, whether it be the Raiders or anybody else. Limit them, even Washington. When they're inside that red zone, those crucial situations from a defense standpoint, somebody has to step up and make a play.
Right.
And each time they have.
And coming up next, we will take a look inside the offensive playbook presented by Ounce of Hope Cannabis Company. It is the NFL pregame show. And, of course, we are live here from Twin Peaks in Cool Springs. Caroline Fenton, Derek Mason, Chris Sanders will join us shortly. NFL pregame show, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
What are the keys to victory on the offensive side of the ball for the two-tone blue? Jared Stillman, Derek Mason, and Chris Sanders go inside the playbook. Brought to you by Ounce of Hope. This is the NFL pregame on Nashville's best sports talk, 102.5 and 106.3, The Game, and the Game Nashville app.
All right, let's take a look inside the offensive playbook for the Titans tonight against Green Bay Packers on Thursday Night Football. Caroline Fenton, Derek Mason, it is the NFL pregame show. And, of course, we are live out here at Twin Peaks in Cool Springs. D-Mace, looking at the Titans' game plan tonight, I mentioned earlier, I think it's got to be a balanced offense. Mm-hmm. It can't just be the Derrick Henry show. But they're going to have to use Derrick Henry, especially considering the conditions and the way that Tannehill plays in the cold. But it cannot just be the Derrick Henry show. I'm going to need a little bit from Ryan Tannehill. I'm going to need some big plays in the passing game offensively. Looking inside the playbook, in your opinion, D-Mace, what do the Titans need to do offensively in order to get a win here on Thursday Night Football?
Well, I mean, first, I believe they gotta, you know, they gotta find out and zero in on their playmakers. They gotta figure out, you know, who our playmakers are, and get the ball solely to those guys. Because from a run standpoint, we know get the ball to Derrick Henry. Mm-hmm. That's our weapon. That is our number one weapon right there. But we got a few more guys on this team that are capable playmakers. You know, we got to identify Dontrell Hilliard as a legitimate playmaker, not just get him the ball every once in a while. it's legal in the NFL to put two backs in the backfield.
You can do that.
You can do that in the NFL. That's our check.
And that's what I want to see from Todd Downing is not necessarily more creative play calling, but more creative personnel.
Absolutely.
Like, I'm fine with seeing Derrick Henry and Dontrell Hilliard out there on second down because then it's not going to be a stacked box just for Derrick Henry. Then you're going to have to make the Packers defense think.
Exactly.
And when it's so obvious what they're doing when you see Derrick Henry come off the field and Dontrell Hilliard come on. It is so obvious what they are doing when you see, you know, Treylon Burks and Cody Hollister come out on the field. It's very obviously a pass play. So I hear a lot of fans saying that they want to see more creative play calling from Todd Downing. I want to see more creative disguised looks and personnel-wise.
Absolutely, because you have enough playmakers. I'm not saying your offense is littered with playmakers.
No.
But I think you got enough playmakers that can affect this game in a positive way for you. Whether it's Dontrell Hilliard, obviously Derrick Henry, or Chigga Conquo. You have to start using these guys. Last thing you want for an offensive coordinator to be after the game, to have his playbook like, man, I should have got to that play. Man, I should have hit him on that. Man, we should have called it. No, you don't want to. You got playmakers on your team. Use them. Design plays to use them. Have Derrick Henry and Hilliard on the field at the same time. Have Chigga Conquo and I don't know, Austin Hooper and on the field majority of the time. Not my guy. Chig is. But if you want Austin Hooper to be on the field, then have him on the field. Make him your Swain. Mm-hmm. Don't put all that blocking on the guy that can catch the pass and make big plays for you, because essentially that's what you're doing with Swain and Hooper. You say, Swain, you're our blocker. Hooper, you're going to be our receiving. No, it needs to change. Hooper, you block. You are the veteran guy. You block. Yeah, you're going to catch a few passes, but you're blocked. But Chig is our playmaker. We're getting him down the field. So identify who your playmakers are in this game, because you're going to have to. You can't sit back and hold on to plays and say, well, man, I should have got to him. This is your opportunity to get to him. We're 9 games into the season for you, going on 10 now. Mm-hmm. Why haven't you used these weapons to your advantage? It's like you let them go out there and you don't use them, but maybe once or twice every other game. That's not being a good coordinator. Being a good coordinator is identifying those playmakers and using those playmakers. If you want Austin Hooper to be a part of your playmakers, then fine. But use them all, which you don't do for whatever reason.
So we have a saying on the Stillman & Company program, and it's more so with the Predators, NMBP. We want to put it on a T-shirt. Uh-huh. No more bad players. No more drafting bad players. Mm-hmm. No more playing the bad players. And that's the same message that I want to send to Todd Downing. Uh-huh. And MVP. Stop playing the bad players. Uh-huh. Put the ball in the hands of your playmakers, to your point. But there was one name that you didn't mention, because I'm with you. When Chig has the ball in his hands, he can rip off for a 20-yard gain. I mean, the yak ability for Chig Okonkwo has proven that he can take care of the football now. Uh-huh. He can get you some of those big chunk plays. But I want to see Treylon Burks.
Yeah, I do too. And
I
did
leave his
name out by accident. Yeah,
because he's not getting the ball enough. And I hear Mike Vrabel saying we don't want to feed the ball in certain players' hands. And I understand that to a certain extent. But also, I want to see Treylon Burks with the ball. I want to see what Treylon Burks can do in terms of outrunning these DBs. I want to see Treylon Burks get targeted more. And I don't want to see the ball go to Cody Hollister or Jeff Swain. Put that ball in the hands of Robert Woods. And I want to see Robert Woods hold on to the football, because he's been having way too many drops for my liking. Put the ball in the hands of Treylon Burks. Put the ball in the hands of Chigga Conquo and see what they can do. And MVP, no more bad players.
Well, when Vrabel says that, I understand in a sense what he's trying to convey to everybody, that I don't want to be too predictable in feeding them.
I get that.
But no. Do you think – and I'm not saying Treylon Burks is Stephon Diggs or any of these other guys. There are going into a game, and you got your playmaker on the outside. You're going to make sure, if everything goes as planned, where this is how many times we want to target him. Now, depending on how the game goes, it might be less and it might be even more. But at least we want to make sure we got 15 plays that we're going to call in hopes to get him the ball. If it doesn't go to him, that's fine. Get it to somebody else. Treylon Burks needs to be in that category. It's no more waiting He's been injured. He's come back. You saw what he can do before he was injured. He made some plays here and there. There's no holding him back now. Take the training wheels off. Downey, go in the room, which I'm sure you probably did. Design at least 15 to 20 plays that you can call that you can get the ball to Traylon Burks. If it doesn't go to him, fine. You got other options.
Right.
But my main concern right now is making sure that I get my number one guy the ball. When I was the number one guy, Heimerdinger, all those, they said, listen, we're trying to get Mason the ball this many times. Now, it may not go to him, but when I call a play, Steve, this is where you need to look. Any other quarterback, Kyle Bowler, Joe Flacco, this is the way you need to look first. If it's not open, then you go to everybody else. Why can't you do that with Traylon Burks? Take the training wheels off. Damn that. We're in the season now. We need to go. We're paying you a lot of money. I'm paying you a lot of money as a coordinator. You need to design something to get that guy the ball.
And I think it's about time that Tannehill go-to guy.
He
AJ
has
Brown
to.
Has been his guy, the kind of guy where Tannehill could drop back and say, F it, AJ's down there somewhere. Mm-hmm. We saw that in the playoff game against the Bengals.
Exactly.
When Tannehill delivered just a beautiful ball in the end zone for AJ Brown, and that's the kind of risky ball that I don't think Tannehill wants to throw this season. Because he doesn't have that guy that he's like, I know that I put it up, he's going to come down with it. Or it at least is going to stay out of the hands of the defender. I want to see that chemistry start to grow between Traylon Burks and Ryan Tannehill. Because frankly, what I've seen, it's not there with Robert Woods.
No.
It seems like Tannehill's go-to guy in the passing game is either Derrick Henry or Dontrell Hilliard. And you're not going to be able to win very many games when your number one receiver is your running back or Austin Hooper.
Well, you can't consistently win when you're just throwing 5 and 6 yard passes. Who are you going to beat doing that?
You're not going to beat Aaron Rodgers doing that.
Nobody feels threatened that you're going to get the ball down the field. Mm-hmm. And that's been the Titans' MO. You know, they've gotten a few big plays down the field, but not enough. You know, when we read off that stat during the midday show 2 days ago, and We tallied up the receivers' numbers. The leading receiver in yardage is Robert Woods. And when I was given the number, I was astonished. I was just like, are you serious? Like, after what, 8 games at that time, mm-hmm. you only got 240-something yards or 220-something. Mm-hmm. That's unbelievable. That is truly, for a guy that's supposed to be their number one receiver, and I understand he didn't come in as that,
mm-hmm.
but he is.
But he is now.
220 or 40-something yards after 8 games.
And I wonder, is he still not 100% after the ACL? I didn't really expect him to be 100% until at least around this time of the year. But also, it hasn't been for lack of targets. Robert Woods has been targeted plenty of times
this
season.
Well, he's been targeted, I believe, the most on the team.
Drops the ball.
Yeah.
So that, to me, I don't know if that's a lack of trust between Tannehill and Robert Woods. That's a lack of chemistry. If Robert Woods just isn't 100%, or maybe it's all of those things combined. Mm-hmm. But Robert Woods does not look like a dependable receiver at this point in the season.
Not like he used to. And they're going to need him to be dependable in this game. They're going to need it because Green Bay is going to do whatever they need to do to try to minimize Derrick Henry's effect on the game. So if that is indeed the case, and I've said this before, like, there's going to have to be a time where Ryan Tannehill just says, I got to put the team on my back, and I got to win this game for us. This may be the night while everybody's watching, while Green Bay understands and knows that if Derrick Henry doesn't go off, if we can contain Derrick Henry, the chances of us winning is high. Well, if that's indeed the case, which it is, Ryan Tannehill needs to put this team on his back and start making those plays or identifying those playmakers that he had.
Get the ball in the hands of the playmakers. That is the key offensively. Again, that was Inside the Playbook offensively presented by Ounce of Hope, Canada's company. Coming up next, we'll look at the defensive side of the ball. It's the NFL pregame show. Caroline Fenton, Derek Mason. We are live from Twin Peaks in Cool Springs.
What are the keys to victory on the defensive side of the ball for the two-tone blue? Jared Stillman, Derek Mason, and Chris Sanders go Inside the Playbook. Brought to you by Ounce of Hope. This is the NFL pregame on Nashville's best sports talk, 102.5 and 106.3, The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It's the NFL pregame show, 102.5-106.3. The game, Caroline Fenton, Derek Mason. We're hanging out here at Twin Peaks in Cool Springs, 1634 Galleria Boulevard in Cool Springs. It's a great place. They've got 29-degree beer. They'll have the game on tonight. Great place to come out and hang out here. So we'll take a look inside the playbook defensively, presented by Ounce of Hope Cannabis Company. I think we've heard it all week long. Mm-hmm. We've heard it from Mike Vrabel. We've heard it from Kevin Byard. We've heard it from Jeffrey Simmons. I believe the number one key defensively tonight, or at least the message inside the Titans locker room, is stop the run. Because the Green Bay Packers rank at the top of the league in rushing yards on the season so far. I believe they're seventh on the season so far in terms of rushing yards. And in rushing yards per game, they're still up there at the top. They're averaging about 130 rushing yards per game. Mike Vrabel mentioned that in four games, they've rushed for more than 200 rushing yards. And they've got that running back duo of Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon. That is going to be one of the first things that I look for. And I know one of the things that this defense is focusing on is stopping the Packers' run. Which, D-Maze, honestly, when I heard that from Mike Vrabel, I was kind of stunned. Because going into a game against Aaron Rodgers, my number one thought defensively wouldn't be stop the run. But when you look at the Green Bay Packers and what they've been able to do running the ball, that really has kind of been the bread and butter of their offense so far this season.
Yeah, that's kept them because they haven't been consistent on offense from a passing standpoint. They've leaned heavy on their run game, and they've done run really well. So when you are game planning for a team like that, and you see that their strength is the run game, regardless of having Aaron Rodgers or not, that's what you want to go into as a head coach and defensive coordinator is, hey, listen, we got to stop the run. This is a very good running team, and they control the clock by running the football. We can't allow them to control the clock and impose their will on us. But even with stopping the run, you have to be ultra sensitive to Aaron Rodgers throwing the football. That's what I believe Vrabel means by stopping the run, because he understands that if they get the run game going, you got to deal with Aaron Rodgers now.
Right.
Because now I got to put so much attention toward the run game. Now Aaron Rodgers gets to do what he want to in a pass game. I'm sure that's what happened in Dallas. They ran the ball so well that it sort of opened things up for him in the passing
game. They ran to set up the pass.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And the receivers were not as closely covered as they may have been two or three games ago. That's why you want to stop the run against the Green Bay Packers. It's not like you're not stopping the run because you think, okay, we stopped the run, we won. No, you want to stop the run because if you do indeed stop the run, you take away Aaron Rodgers' inability to throw the football, because now you've made this team one-dimensional. Now he has to throw it, and we understand he has to throw it, and we can play it better.
And the Titans have had a lot of success so far this season in stopping the run. They're second best in the league in giving up rush yards per game at just 85 rush yards per game. But when you talk about Aaron Rodgers, that's obviously going to be a very obvious threat for this Titans defense. And correct me if you think I'm off base here, D-Maze. I think we could talk all day long about the DB against wide receiver matchups, who's going to be on Christian Watson, who's on Alan Lazard, can this Titans secondary keep up with the speed of the trio of wide receivers of Christian Watson and Alan Lazard and Randall Cobb. But to me, I mean, we could talk about that all day long. We can have that conversation. To me, the key in the passing game is just get to the quarterback.
Yeah.
Get pressure on Aaron Rodgers, and then you don't have to worry about those matchups. And, of course, Aaron Rodgers is going to want to throw it deep. Take that away from him. And this Titans defensive line has been solid at that all season long.
Well, if you can reestablish the line of scrimmage from a defensive standpoint, it works in your favor. 20 years ago, you have a good rush in, a good outside linebacker, or maybe even two if you're lucky. That would just frustrate a quarterback because he couldn't, for some reason, they thought getting outside the pocket. In today's NFL, I would rather have a Aaron Donald or Jeffrey Simmons than a Bud Dupree or somebody on the outside. Why? Because quarterbacks want to step up in the pocket. Not too many quarterbacks can step side to side and throw the ball. there's not too many Patrick
That's
Mahomes
Patrick
out
Mahomes
there. Exactly, because
Mahomes.
He can throw the ball from any direction.
That's why Bryce Young is Bryce Young.
Absolutely. So in Aaron Rodgers' case, as he's getting a little bit older, these quarterbacks want to step up. The Brady's, when Manning was playing, these quarterbacks want to be able to step up in the pocket and deliver the ball. Well, if I can get that push in the middle, I don't necessarily need to get a lot of rush on the outside. As long as I get that push out the middle, and I'm going to funnel him to one of the guys that is rushing from the end. He can't step up in the pocket. And he can't deliver the ball. It makes for a very long day when a quarterback is throwing off his back foot or throwing as he to the left or trying to throw as he's running to the right. Mm-hmm. Quarterbacks want to be able to step up in the pocket, follow through with their throws. Even if you get in his face, he's not able to follow through.
And you brought it up with Aaron Rodgers' mobility. Uh-huh. Aaron Rodgers isn't a statue.
No.
But Aaron Rodgers can move around. But, I mean, I look at compared to, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs game, that defensive line was still able to limit Patrick Mahomes. Probably the most skilled and mobile, well, probably Lamar Jackson. Mm-hmm. But in the pocket, moving around in the pocket, Patrick Mahomes is better than anybody in terms of moving around and escaping pressure. And the Titans were still able to limit the Chiefs to 20 points. So I think that the biggest key, above anything, you can talk about the DBs, you can talk about trying to, you know, keep up with those wide receivers, you can talk about stopping the run. To me, the biggest key in this game is getting pressure on Aaron Rodgers and frustrating Aaron Rodgers. We've seen that he can get easily frustrated.
Oh, he can.
And once he's frustrated, he'll make mistakes.
Uh-huh.
And he'll get frustrated with his own guys.
Exactly. I mean, you can't allow him to get into a rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to establish, you got to reestablish the line of scrimmage as the defensive line. You got to push that pocket. You got to frustrate him. But I think also the key is not allowing him to get those off-script plays. And what
and
I mean
don't give
is,
him time.
Exactly. What I mean is him getting outside the pocket,
mm-hmm.
him running around, and then delivering the ball. When that does happen, when that defense collapses on him and gets him outside the pocket, now these defensive backs has to plaster. Plaster means just find the closest guy near you and stick on him, because guys like Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, they thrive off of that.
Mm-hmm.
Getting outside the pocket, getting those off-script passes that ends up being, you know, 60-yard passes or 60-yard touchdowns.
Right.
Why? Not because we didn't play great defense in the moment, I mean, at the start, but we didn't plaster our guys and stay on our guys in the moment that once he got outside the pocket. So you got to keep him in the pocket, collapse the pocket, but then once he gets out, because he will, you got to make sure he doesn't get those off-script plays.
Questionable, David Bakhtiari. We'll get the official injury report, and we'll have that for y'all later on in the show. But how scary do you think a rested and healthy Jeffrey Simmons is to a potentially David Bakhtiari-less offensive line?
Oh, man. I mean, even if Bakhtiari was healthy,
it's still
you got to face Jeffrey Simmons, arrested Jeffrey Simmons.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have him, which is he's one of the best centers out there.
Yeah.
If you don't
the
have him,
that line.
Yeah, you don't have him. Now you got to put extra attention on Jeffrey Simmons. And what does that do? Well, that opens things up for Tierre Tart. That opens things up for DeNico Autry,
mm-hmm.
And these other guys.
Mario Edwards.
Mario Edwards is playing really well.
Uh-huh.
So when you have to concentrate solely and so much on Jeffrey Simmons, it allows other people to get in and potentially get sacks on a quarterback or at least harass him.
Coming up next, we'll chat with Teron Davenport. He is at Lambeau. I'm sure he is stunting some really cool coat, nice little cold weather fashion fit from Teron Davenport. So we'll check in with him. He is live at Lambeau Field. It is the NFL pregame show, and we are live from Twin Peaks in Cool Springs. Caroline Fenton, Derek Mason. It's the NFL pregame show on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.